We're in lesson 11 of Ephesians chapter 2. We left off in verse 1 last week about, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And verse 2, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his love, his great love, wherewith he loved us. Now, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. You know, the verse before that says you were dead, wasn't it? But we walked dead in our spirit, dead in our function, but yet your spirit was alive, wasn't it? You know, you had a dead spirit to God, but you still served some things. And it was controlled by Satan's world system and was influenced and by the prince and power of the air. You know what we talked about a little bit this last week? What does the air represent in the Bible? If you think about that one. Who is it? Say again. Satan. Do you say Satan? Yeah, you're right. It was Satan because, go back to Luke chapter 8 right quick. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. The air in the Bible refers to that invisible realm that's going on above us that we can't see. And I share with this all to people with all the time. You think about if you could really see the activity up there in the spiritual world above us, it'd probably just scare you to death. It'd probably like, oh no, I don't want no part of that. Which you don't have no part of that, but God chose you and him to do some things here we're going to look at in a little bit. But Luke chapter 8, verse 4 says, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. You see that? The fowls of the air came down and got that seed. But look at verse 11. What is that seed? The seed says, now this is a parable, the seed is the what? Word of God. Verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that heard. Excuse me, that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be what? So what is the devil doing? He's coming down and taking the word, the seed, out of their hearts, unless they what? Should believe and be saved. Okay, you can believe that word even back then and you could be saved. So I'm thinking about this. How could you lose your salvation if you believe the words that God spoke and you were saved? You know, a lot of people says you can lose your salvation and they didn't have salvation, but that's another time, another story. I'll be turning to Ephesians chapter 6, but on your way over, I'm going to read John chapter 14. Verse 13 says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Now who is the prince of the world that cometh to him? Satan, isn't it? He's coming. The prince, the God of this world's coming. Now there's nothing changed since then. We know Lord Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. He don't have a kingdom set up on this earth yet. He's the King of kings, Lord of lords. And nothing's changed with that prince of that world or the prince of power of the air. We need to realize that, guys. Because just because you're saved and you trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, everything's not hunky-dory, is it? Everything's not a bed of roses. It seems like everything's magnifying now. It seems like I was much better over here lost or much better over here in another church that preached something different. Because I felt different over there. If you know your word, know the Bible, it's not about feelings, is it? You don't let your emotions rule who you are in Christ. But look, Satan is the prince of power of the air, isn't he? Where did I say to go? Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in where?
High places.
There are some people out there and some angelic beings and some things that's wickedness, spiritual darkness. And we wrestle against that. And you should know what I'm talking about, because before you were saved, you was in that. Not really knowing it. You were still in it and you was wrestling in it. Some of us love that. And then we come to light, we see that darkness, and sometimes that darkness still comes upon us and maybe affects our mind. And we're like, get away, get away. And that darkness, today, those positions of rank and authority in heavenly places are still under authority and control of the adversary. You know, I say this once or twice, probably three times a month sometimes. There's three heavens. There's the blue skies that you see right now, and then where the stars above, and then where God sits, the third heaven. We find that through Paul. Paul said he went to the third heaven. Whether in a body, out of body, I could not tell. Only God knows. Here's a man that went up to the third heaven, looked at himself. He like, man, where am I? But I see like I'm still in my body. That shows you who your soul is really are. You know? And he's seeing this, and then God's up there, and he heard things he couldn't utter. Man, I couldn't keep a secret. You know, if I heard something like that, I was like, man, God said this. And then what we know through Paul, he comes down, he does share some things with us about the heavenly places. But Satan has a policy of evil that he developed when he failed. He didn't develop this while he was a cherubim. Look at this. We turn in Ezekiel chapter 28. Get Ezekiel chapter 28. And Isaiah 14. Ezekiel chapter 28. And Isaiah 14. Ezekiel 28. God made him. Talking about Lord Jesus. Not Lord Jesus Christ. But Satan, sorry. He made him an anointed cherubim that covers. You know what a cherubim is? You know what anointed is? It's a Christ. So God anointed him to be over something. Look at Ezekiel chapter 28. You there? Everybody there?
Yes.
Okay. Verse 12 says this. Son of man, take up a lamentations upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now, Ezekiel is writing to this king of Tyrus, but also before that, there was a prince. These are people that identified themselves with Satan. It was actually Satan working through them as their king. He says this, verse 13, thou hast been in the Eden of the garden of God. Now, who do you know that was in the Eden of garden God? But who else?
Adam.
Yeah, and who else?
God.
And then Satan even talks about you can be like gods. So there was other gods outside of that Eden, but in that Eden, it says right here, thou hast been in the Eden of God, a garden of God. Every precious stone was thou covering, and it lists them. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thou, was it?
Tabrets.
And of the pipes was prepared in thee in a day that thou was created. God created this cherubim, this Lucifer. He created him to be perfect in beauty. And he had nine stones there, if you count them. Now, Israel's got a breastplate with how many stones on there? 12. There's three that's missing in here. Do you good to do that study one day? One of them has to do with Daniel. I used to have it all in my mind. But one of them has to be the judge and anointed one, that type of thing. He can't judge you. Satan can't. But he's got stones. He's beautiful. He's up there. He's the fifth cherubim, guys. He's above God Almighty directing worship service. He's the light barrier. People come to that light where God is. But look at that. Thou pipes. What do you know about pipes?
Organs.
We got organs. Many of us had
musical organs.
Yeah, but many of you this morning did an organ recital about it, didn't you? But think about it. These are really pipes. He was probably the worship leader. He sung. He was beautiful. He was things. People came to him and heard that. You don't know anybody like that today, do you? That goes to these worship centers.
Oh. There are one man bands, but they're not instruments built in.
There you go. But the thing is, a lot of people will put that worship, that music, what I'm trying to get over the Word of God. But look at this. Thou art the anointed cherubim that covereth, and I have set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and has walked up and down in the midst of the stones of the fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitudes of thy merchandise, thou have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, if I have cast thee as profaned out of the mountain of God, I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I have laid thee before kings that they may behold thee. He was made perfect in his beauty. He was lifted up his beauty with pride. You know what the middle letter in pride is?
I.
And the same as sin, right? He lifted up with, look at me, look how beautiful I am. And so he lifted it up. The sin of pride brought his downfall. And when he fell, he developed a plan, a wise plan, to plan a revolt against God. And Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the grounds which did weakest the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, there's five I wills right there. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of configuration and sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. It is scary. And he convinced himself that he's going to do that. And you know what the number five is in the Bible? It means division. So he's causing division in the angelic realm up there. Not on this earth yet, but up there. And he says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That's his final glory, isn't it? Now go back to Ephesians. But look, think about this for a minute. Satan's sin was pride. You know, we can fall in that temptation too, can't we? Look what I'm doing. Prideful. I quit saying I am proud of my kids. That's me. I am thankful for them. You know, because you look about pride, everywhere in Bible, pride is not good. It's about what I can do. And you start patting somebody on the back, oh boy, I'm proud of you. You know, and all that stuff. They can lift themselves up like this, can't they? And they said, ooh, look, my dad's proud of me, or my mom's proud of me. But you can do it in a loving, kind way. Now, proud in the Bible, you can find some good terms about proud. But I don't like to use that myself. I am thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for my family. But Satan has developed pride to develop and plan a revolt against God. And his plan whereby was he was going to take the throne of God away from God. You just read it. And he went out and made merchandise. Remember reading that in Ezekiel? He made merchandise and started selling it out there amongst the higher echelons and the principalities and powers of the government of the universe. I know this is deep, isn't it? You're like, wow, man. But that's what Ephesians is about. Ephesians taking your mind that you've got the doctrine of God, the who you are in Christ, the basic doctrine of faith. Now Ephesians is going to take you to the advanced mystery truths to show you where you at in the heavenly places and how you can operate today. We need to know that, how powerful Satan is. He ain't just no chum down on the corner. He is powerful. He convinced 1/3 of the angelic angels to follow him. Now, how much would it be to a little man made out of clay? See, and you say, well, you know, I know his tricks, I know his wiles, true, but yet you got your own human viewpoint. You start doubting yourself. Satan's back over there saying, hey, man, I don't have to do nothing. Now he's down the cell, you know. But look. Ezekiel says he's merchandise of his traffic and was many perished by doing that. Merchandising, selling things. That big place you talked about. They just didn't do that on the word of God. They started selling programs and started selling this and started selling that. You got to watch that stuff. There's nothing wrong with programs. We know that. You know, we need good programs based on the word of God. He went out and sold these people an idea of making him the most high, exalting him above God. I watch sports. I love sports. But I watch some of these guys, they're out there and they'll lift themselves up, won't they? Mm-hmm. Above anybody. And you look at their masculinity. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. And you look how big they are and you're like, whoa. You know, I'm amazed by them. I really am. But we also got a temple about 3 or 4 miles up the road here, don't we? That they put their temple built for them. Their bus is in there. The gods among gods. You know, and this is what God wants. I mean, Satan wants you to do. He goes out and gathers up these angelic creatures to be a part of his government and his revolt. And they are usurping those positions in the government of the universe. It's much bigger than what we think it is down here on earth. We know on this earth there's a world system that Satan controls. You can identify that because you can see it. But there's a system up there in the universe that Satan has right now. And, you know, as I go down the road, I'm thinking about these things. We work every day with unsaved people, saving unsaved people. You rub shoulders with them and carry on with them, eat with them and party with them and, you know, go to ball games or whatever with them. Wouldn't that be doing the same thing in heavenly places if they're saved angelic people and unsaved people up there? There's still government up there being usurped, but they're still there. They haven't. Has the saved angelic creation of God that didn't follow suit, are they still up there? They are. They're still there. Same as you're still here. But the Lord Jesus Christ has come. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. We read this already. Ephesians 1:22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God has exalted Christ, and he sits with him right now on the right hand of the Father. Amen? And it says far above what? All principalities and powers. So he's up there in the third heaven right now, Lord Jesus Christ is. And he had put things all under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the what? The church. God Almighty, guys. Through the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection and exaltation of Christ has declared Jesus to be the head of the heavenly government. You can't deny it. He's going to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And if you know the theme about your Bible, it's about authority sitting on a throne governing the whole universe. It's not just this little piece of real estate down here on earth. And if you watch the news, they supposedly found another planet on the other side of Pluto, which they say Pluto's now not a planet. You know, and I got to thinking, which one of you guys are going to argue with these scientists? Who's going to say, well, you don't have no evidence? So people take them at their word because they got these big telescopes and they got this knowledge. I'm thinking God knows every one of them out there. He's named every one of them out there, and they got their reason for them out there. And if you want to find them, that's fine. But look, he says he's made them to be over the government of the universities, and he's going back together all these positions and that invisible realm up there that's going to be the body of Christ. Now, I believe the Bible teaches, and as we go through this, that void up there, once they fall, when God rolls up the universe and he shakes it like a straw and all them bad apples start falling down to this earth, it's going to leave a void up there. And I believe this is where the body of Christ is going to be fashioned like his body, and we're going to be up there in those government structures. Now, it's not to say when he was talking about we can't come back when it's all said and done and talk to Father Abraham, you know, or see David and talk to him how was it, you know, knocking that Goliath down. We read about it. Yeah, you know, swinging at the, you know, we read about, you know, and all these people of the Bible, and you're going to sit there and you talk, tell me more. Tell me, you know, but, you know, I might be fantasizing a little bit, but I think about that. But we live in a present evil world, don't we? That's what Galatians talks about. The Spirit now worketh. It is important to know that this much. The satanic possession of that took place in this kingdom program. Remember how Satan just controlled people and they became demonic and all that stuff? It don't work that way today. Now, many of us might know, well, that's what she thinks. She's not married to me, or I'm not married to him. I'm just joking. I'm not calling you a devil. But look, he says it's different in the age of grace. When God changed his program through the Apostle Paul to reveal this mystery program, Satan was shocked. You know that. Satan was humiliated. He's defeated in all reality. There's victory in that cross. But today, the satanic demonic attack is corrupting the Word of God. This is how Satan is working in things. And he's working to corrupt God's sound doctrine with bad doctrine. How many of you guys right now had came out of bad doctrine? What you bought into it. You bought into the merchandise one time, you know, and you was sold on it. And next thing you know, you're like, this is not lining up with good doctrine. Go to Timothy chapter 4 for a second. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The spirit warfare is in your mind, guys. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And you got to realize this, he's corrupted that angelic being up there. He's the god of this world. He has a system going on here. And when you trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, you're not a part of that, but he can still affect you. Verse 1 says, 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know what that we might have talked about this before. You know what seducing spirits are? You know who they are? They're men. Because you ain't seen no spirits walking around here talking and seducing. They're men. Their spirits are seducing. And the doctrines of devils. Believers will depart from the faith. And you wonder why in the world or how can this people depart from the faith? This is why. They open up their minds and their ears and their eyes and their mouth to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And they are preachers today who are taken captivity by the devil and promoting the satanic policy of evil against the body of Christ. Now, we hate to think that, don't we? We hate to think that the brother so-and-so that I knew ever since he was a little guy or whatever, that would preach another gospel or another doctrine. But they're out there. So my encouragement would be, if you know these, go to them first, ask them, what do you trust to be saved? Get that straight off the bat. Say, hey, what do you trust? And get them to tell you. If they don't nail the cross, what are they doing? What is 2 Corinthians chapter 4? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, which we have received, mercy, we faint not. Verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. You see that? That's our ministry. That's our responsibility. By the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, and what gospel is that? Gospel grace or gospel Christ? Gospel Christ is what saves us, guys. That Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. Be hid, it is hid to them that are what?
Lost.
Now let me, you know, we talked about this before. If somebody's preaching another gospel, are they saved or are they lost? I think, you know, you don't want to say, you know, I'm not going there. But think, you know, just think about that. You don't have to answer, but think about that. If they're preaching another gospel other than any other gospel that Paul preached for today, is these people being lost or are they lost or saved? And it says, to whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of where it is, Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. A lot of people say they're saved today, don't they? That's why I ask. You should talk to them, say, what do you trust getting them? And I know what their reaction is going to be. I've been down that road, t-shirts, got it all, hats. They're going to look at you like, this is a trick question, isn't it? You know what I believe. You know I go to so-and-so's church. You know I carry my Bible. That's not what I asked you. See, you got to, and sometimes you poke and prod, they're going to give you the answer. You know what I mean? But it's sad they don't have it in memory. If you keep in memory, unless you believe in vain. See, that vain belief out there is preaching another gospel, or preaching that Christ didn't resurrect, or preaching that Christ was a Christ, but he was just a man. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in what?
Christ.
Now what's he praying or what's he saying? He hopes your mind don't get subdued like Eve's mind got subdued. Through the what? Subtlety. The kindness. Look at me. I'm a good guy. Found out the other day, good guys can lead you down the wrong road. With strange doctrines. Verse 4. For if he that cometh preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye received another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into what? An angel of light. Now what do you know about Lucifer? He was a light bearer. He's the little L. Jesus Christ is the big L.
God.
The light, yeah. The Lord, not the little Lord, not the little G, but the big G. See, and that counterfeiting, it's serious. Anybody ever see that movie, Catch Me If You Can?
Yeah.
True story. This guy was good. Counterfeiting. Took millions probably. And the FBI caught him. And now the FBI uses him to help him with the counterfeit. I've always been told, if you want to know what a counterfeit bill is or a counterfeit copy, you got to study the real one first. That's why you need to know that you have the Word of God, and I believe it's in the authorized version of, for the English-speaking people, commonly known as the King James Bible. And it's authorized, and it's for the English-speaking. Now, all the other Bibles, do they contain the Word of God? You know they do. You know they do. But they water it down, and they change words, and they leave out very, very important words. Satan's ministers will preach self-righteousness. You ever notice that? Yeah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 9 says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be what? Saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they shall believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Satan has come around and propitiated his lie. Didn't God say he was a liar from the beginning? Do you know God's, Titus and Paul says, God who cannot lie? You know that's one thing God can't do? You know, God said God can do anything in the world. But that's one thing he cannot do is lie. Amen? And when he speaks, he spoke with authority, and here it is, black and white. And you know what? Something else I learned about some elders that I love, and many of them done gone, but they taught me that. Let the words say what they mean, and mean what they say. And just leave it there. You know what I mean? Don't beat them up. I'm calm compared to what I used to be. You know, when it comes to witnessing and this truth, I back up and dump a whole load of Pauline on you before you even know what hit you. You know, and then I'd go, you know, because I probably would never see you again. You know, his display of power, this Antichrist, this is what happens, which accumulates in the ages to come over here in that Antichrist, what we just read. The signs and lying wonders. But you see what Paul talked about in the latter days. Seducing spirits. Doctrines of devils. That's going on now, guys. Listen. Take your glasses off. When you see this to be truth, don't put no rose cover glasses on or blinders on. You need to say, well, this is happening today. It's for real. And it's pulling people away, your loved ones that knows this truth. It's pulling away. And it's not that they lost their salvation. I'm not saying that. It's making them none effect. You don't see them around no more. They much rather be somewhere else. They don't like to be held accountable. I don't like to be held accountable. Do we, Fred, when we truck drive, do we?
No, we don't.
We don't like. We got authority. Hey, people watch. You think y'all guys... People's watching you guys. They're watching us night and day. Waiting for us to make a mistake on the road, ain't they, Fred?
Yes, they are.
Begging. Someone begging. Please, please. Just do it.
Serious.
Yeah. And you're back up and say, huh? I know what you're thinking down there. You just go right ahead. But look. The Lord will give the unbelievers what they want. and they will be caught up into a lie. You know, you can be caught up in a lie today. There's a lie system out there. Ephesians chapter 2. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The wonderful thing about that is said, wherein in times past ye walked. Okay. Next lesson, we're going to start working down through verse 3, and we're going to look at some lust of flesh and things like that. But think about that. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead. God's made us alive. And it's through the instrument of Jesus Christ. He came to this earth and died and buried and rose again. If someone believes that today, they're saved. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Plus nothing else. If you think about what we just shared, how these other ministers out there are adding to that. Now, I know I'd be willing to say, other than maybe one, that they've been a part of systems that says, hey, it's okay that you trust Jesus Christ, died and murdered, but you need to be water baptized. You need to be church membership. You know, it's not for salvation, but they're adding to things, guys. You know something? We allow it, don't we? Or we have allowed that. But you back up now and say, you know something? I'm going to stand for the truth of the Bible. Father, once again, we thank you for the things you've given us freely. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.